It's the final push. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. With 1 weekend left to campaign, both President Trump and Joe Biden are sizing up voters in key battlegrounds. The president has 4 rallies planned today in Pennsylvania. Yesterday, he hit the Midwest, telling supporters in Michigan,
"We will make America into the manufacturing superpower of the world, and we will end the reliance on China once and for all that's already started. We will hire more police, increase penalties for assaults on law enforcement."
As the country continues to get crushed by rising coronavirus cases, the president reiterated his promise to get the nation back to normal. Biden is painting a darker pandemic picture, and during a drive-in rally in Des Moines, he promised to level with the American people.
"We've now hit 9 million cases nationwide, a tragic milestone, and millions of people are out of work, on the edge."
Biden, who also campaigned in Wisconsin yesterday, told supporters he would contain the virus and expand the Affordable Care Act. Biden is also making it clear he takes nothing for granted, despite national polls.
The latest Fox News poll finds Biden leading the president by 8 points. That is 2 points tighter than it was a few weeks ago, but not as tight as things were in September. Biden has not dropped below 51% support in weeks, which is a notable difference from 4 years ago, when neither candidate had more than 48%.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Windows were shattered and flags were burned in Vancouver, Washington last night following a vigil for a black man who was killed by police. Authorities say the man, who friends and family identify as Kevin Peterson, fired a gun at officers during a chase on Thursday. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen.
Need an escape? Then gaze skyward and listen to the Wild Thing Podcast as host Laura Krantz searches for extraterrestrial life.
Thousands of reports of UFOs. Secret UFO program, Project Blue Book.
Gaze skyward for season 2 of Wild Thing.
As a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can definitively say that this craft did not resemble any man-made object that I'd ever seen.
Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
One state, although Reuters says it's unclear which one. A joint statement from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security says the hackers were behind the threatening emails sent to thousands of Americans earlier this month. Officials have been on high alert over the possibility of cyber interference in the upcoming election. It's been relatively quiet in North Korea, but a new report says the Hermit Kingdom could be ready to start making noise.
The Center for Strategic and International Studies and its Beyond Parallel project says it examined 65 years of North Korean behavior and found under Kim Jong-un, North Korea instigates with a provocative act 4.5 weeks before or after a presidential or midterm election. That shows Kim has been more focused on election day in the U.S. than his father or grandfather. Though for the 2018 midterms, North Korea took a break after President Trump and Kim met and North Korea agreed to suspend long-range missile testing and the U.S. suspended certain military drills with South Korea. Rich Edson, Fox News.
Hard time for a Hollywood actress.
Lori Loughlin is officially serving time for her part in the college admissions bribery scandal 3 weeks ahead of schedule. The actress was set to begin her sentence at the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, California, November 19th. However, Loughlin's early arrival means that she will be released just in time to spend some of the Christmas season with her family. Her husband, Massimo Giannulli, who was sentenced alongside the actress and received a longer jail term, will report to a male facility in Santa Barbara County November 10th for a 5-month sentence.
Fox's Michelle Polino. Loughlin and her husband were convicted in a high-profile college admission scandal. They paid $500,000 to get their daughters into USC. Pam Husso, Fox News.
You
You will find some slow traffic right now if you're traveling on 395 northbound through a couple of work zones between Etzel Road and Duke Street, and again between the GW Parkway and the 14th Street Bridge. Look for road work along the right side causing delays. Also keep in mind this weekend road work once again on the outer loop of the Beltway between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. They're doing the bridge joint repairs over the Northwest Branch. Looks like a little bit of heavy volume through that work zone. And keep in mind that the Memorial Bridge closed this weekend for construction between Memorial Circle and the Lincoln Memorial. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A happy Halloween. We will have a very chilly one at that. The temperature is the coolest since 2002, only reaching the lower 50s under mostly sunny skies. We'll be back in the 40s after sunset, so for those of you trick-or-treating, make sure to have a couple of layers. Remember to fall back tonight as well as we exit daylight saving time. Mostly cloudy, lows back in the 40s throughout the region. As we go through tomorrow, showers will be likely, the heaviest south and east, I think most likely during the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 50s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Got a minute? Stay in touch with Marketplace Minute. Want the latest on how COVID-19 is impacting business and the economy?
That growth may not have been enough to save Regal Cinema. The theater chain says it will suspend operations at all of its U.S. locations. Regal is the country's second largest theater chain.
Then stay in touch with Marketplace Minute, a podcast and flash briefing updated 3 times daily. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
The worst pandemic in a century, and it's touched every Virginia family. That's why we need Mark Warner in the Senate. He got $2 trillion for more COVID testing, help for Virginia businesses, and he's leading the Senate fight to safely reopen our schools. Because Mark Warner knows there's more work to do. But his opponent, Daniel Gade, he stood with extremists and conspiracy theorists and said this.
Every time you put on your mask, I want you to think this is what tyranny feels like.
Gade actually believes wearing a mask is tyranny. It's the same Daniel Gade who opposed the Affordable Care Act, which would take away health coverage from 400,000 Virginians. Mark Warner is fighting to get more people covered, not less. Here's Senator Warner.
The only way to get our economy back on track is to get COVID under control. That means following the science so we can reopen our businesses and schools safely. I'm Mark Warner. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Warner for Senate.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. From rent increases to increased orders to, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times. But don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next, and bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. And for a limited time, ask how to upgrade to get a $500 prepaid card. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Prepaid card offer ends 12/13/20. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business Internet and One Voice Mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning and happy Halloween. Yes, indeed. I'm Rick Fowler. This is the Saturday morning update. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton and our producer this morning. And obviously a lot to talk about with Election Day this coming Tuesday. But it is Halloween. Isn't it odd? You know, we used to wear a mask once a year. Now we wear a mask all year. And I can tell you the costumes that each of the presidential candidates will have on today. I can tell you that this morning. I can tell you that Joe Biden's costume, a progressive in moderate clothes. And I can tell you that Donald Trump's costume will be a blue suit, a white shirt, and a red tie as he makes campaign stops throughout the weekend. He's even talking about campaigning on Election Day. As you remember, in 2016, he did a rally at like 1 a.m., kind of capped off the day before the election, but it actually drifted into Election Day. So he was campaigning on Election Day, but it was early in the morning, like 1 in the morning last time, and he's threatening to campaign into the day this year. That shows you how tight it is. As of this morning, 86,800,000 votes have been cast. Of those 86,800,000 voters, I wonder how many have remorse and said, oh, man, I wish I had waited. I didn't know about this, or I didn't know about that, or I didn't realize this, or I didn't realize that. Have you noticed any bumper stickers anywhere around town? Now, if you're out maybe in Loudoun County or a little further outside the Beltway, maybe you've seen some bumper stickers. I spent probably 40 minutes on I-66 in slow traffic the other day. I kid you not, I did not see one bumper sticker for either Biden or Trump. Didn't see a one. I guess people don't want to have their cars vandalized anymore when it comes to, showing your colors in a campaign. It used to be around D.C., you'd at least see Obama-Biden stickers. But I have not seen any Biden-Harris stickers. I see some yard signs in the District of Columbia, but I have not seen any bumper stickers, and I'm not seeing any Trump-Pence bumper stickers around D.C. Obviously, when you get outside of D.C. and outside of the belt, we've seen the huge display of support for President Trump, everything from parades of vehicles to boat parades to people cheering in the streets when the president is arriving in a town. So definitely the enthusiasm, and people are showing their support and showing their intentions and colors outside of D.C., but it's pretty subdued around Washington. Well, you know, as you look at the election and you're having that debate over a family dinner or a debate at the office on a Zoom call now, or, you know, even among family members, and you kind of like, how do you convince them of your point of view? And I just had a few thoughts here this morning, and if you're trying to convince somebody that's leaning toward the Biden-Harris ticket, informing them of facts that they are not being informed of, where they get their news, is very important. And I have had discussions with people, and what strikes me is that they don't hear much of the news that's important. All they hear is the filtered news of ABC, CBS, NBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, CNBC, CNN, MSNBC, I mean, you name it. That's where people are getting their news. And as an example, nobody is hearing the Tony Bobulinski story unless they're tuned into Fox or I think the Daily Mail in the UK carried it the other day. But many, many people in this country have not heard anything about the Hunter Biden laptop or the Tony Bobulinski story, where he has come forward and, said that, hey, I was a business partner and I met Joe Biden. The Biden campaign hasn't really denied it. They're just calling it a smear and calling it a Russian operation, which is ridiculous, to say the least. And we're going to talk about it with some of the experts this morning about the whole thing. And it's not to go after Hunter Biden, but it's to look at the entire Biden family and whether the Biden family is compromised. Now, we know that Hunter Biden, and apparently, according to the laptop and the emails that nobody has denied, so I will say apparently or allegedly, Jim Biden making a lot of money out of China. Hunter Biden making a lot of money out of China. And when you make money out of China, it often will trace back to the Chinese Communist Party. Last time I checked, they're not exactly allies. And here they're dumping millions of dollars into the hands of at least two Bidens we know. And there's a question mark as to whether Joe Biden was involved in this or not. And Joe Biden has said, I didn't know anything about Hunter's business. Whereas Tony Bobulinski said, oh, by the way, I met with Joe Biden and I was introduced as Hunter's business partner. And there are emails that talk about the big guy. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And people who don't watch Fox News or listen to WMAL don't even know about it because the mainstream media has censored it. And you probably have heard that Twitter blocked the New York Post Twitter account because they were carrying this story. The censorship and it's unbelievable that this story has not been carried. And, you know, people at ABC or CBS or NBC call themselves journalists and they're not looking into this, at least looking into it or asking Joe Biden any questions. You seen Biden on the campaign trail? You know, they lob the softball in, easiest questions on the planet. Nobody's asking him about it. We'll have some audio in a minute or two. There was one came up to a Biden surrogate, but completely dodged it. So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But that's just one of the things going on out there and kind of a lack of information. So if you're trying to convince somebody to vote in a certain way and maybe at least be open-minded or objective about it, have them search the Tucker Carlson interview where Tony Bobulinski was on earlier this week, spent an hour with Tucker Carlson. And as we'll talk about in the program this morning, why would Tony Bobulinski make this up? Reportedly sat down for 6 hours with the FBI. Now, if you were making a story up accusing a presidential candidate of something like lying, which is what he's accusing him of, would you really go down and spend 6 hours with the FBI and give them all your electronic devices so the FBI can go through your PDAs? I don't think so. But most people don't know anything about that. So that's one issue. Now, we got Kamala Harris, who is running for vice president, obviously. That's all fine and dandy. But with Joe Biden at the age of 78, and if you have seen him and watched him carefully, do you really think he will have all of his faculties for the next 4 years? At what point during the Biden administration does somebody say to Joe, either you should step down or why don't you just let us take care of all this? And you've got Kamala Harris either as the VP or as the shadow president. Now, as an example, this is Nora O'Donnell. Now, Nora O'Donnell's no conservative journalist. Obviously, she's at CBS. Did an interview with Kamala Harris last Sunday on CBS on 60 Minutes. And a couple things here as you listen to this. Kamala Harris has a tendency to giggle a lot. And my interpretation, and it's just my interpretation, she's giggling because she's very uncomfortable. And she may not really be telling us everything that she's really feeling when she's giggling. She just might be covering up when she's giggling. And give this a listen. And are you ready for the vice president? Potentially, Kamala Harris, are you ready for her to be your president as you listen to this segment from 60 Minutes?
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things. So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration? And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
No. No, it is the perspective of a woman who grew up a black child in America, who was also a prosecutor who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also, you know, likes hip hop. Like, what do you want to know?
Wow, I want to know that you're not going to giggle for the next 4 years if you get either into the vice president's office or over into the Oval Office. That's very troubling. Well, we've got more to think about in terms of who you pull the lever for on Tuesday. But first, we're going to check WMAL traffic and weather. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
So far, traffic is moving at a good pace on the Capitol Beltway and Maryland and Virginia. But do keep in mind, there is road work again this weekend in Maryland and Hillendale on the outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. Watch out for various lane closures throughout the day, which could cause some delays. Northbound 395, still a slow go between Etzel Road and Duke Street with road work along the right side of the roadway. And you will also find road work northbound between Seminary Road and Glebe Road along the two right lanes. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
A happy Halloween. We will have a very chilly one at that. The temperature is the coolest since 2002, only reaching the lower 50s under mostly sunny skies. We'll be back in the 40s after sunset, so for those of you trick-or-treating, make sure to have a couple of layers. Remember to fall back tonight as well as we exit daylight saving time. Mostly cloudy, lows back in the 40s throughout the region. As we go through tomorrow, showers will be likely, the heaviest south and east, I think most likely during the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 39 degrees in the nation's capital at 621.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update, 621, and I've talked to a number of my colleagues and family members even who are liberal in terms of their political leanings. And they're all kind of saying, well, look, Joe Biden's a moderate. You know, what are you all upset about? And then I might mention somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or AOC plus three or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie. Oh, no. Joe Biden's going to keep it down the middle. Well, I'm not so convinced of that. As an example, this is Ilhan Omar speaking earlier this week, and she's talking about the progressives and how she's expecting progressives in the cabinet.
The president is only as successful as his collaboration is with Congress. And we will have a cohort of progressives that are very clear about their objectives.
Are there any positions that you think a progressive Democrat should absolutely be in this spot in a Biden administration?
I would say all of the cabinet positions.
All of the cabinet positions is what Ilhan Omar is expecting. So you don't think there's going to be a little bit of pressure on Joe Biden? No. Bernie Sanders is not going to put a little pressure on Joe Biden? No. Kamala Harris, the most liberal senator, as Nora O'Donnell pointed out, is not going to put a little pressure on Joe Biden. So for people who are thinking, oh, you know, Joe Biden's going to be right down the middle and he's the answer and there's not going to be any more division in the country, there is going to be a civil war in the Democratic Party as to how far to the left they can get. And I just don't see Joe Biden having the energy or even the support behind him to stand up to him. So that's what you're looking at, in my opinion. Now, a moment to talk about the hypocrisy here. Joe Biden, his standard stump speech, kind of got it memorized if you've watched him at all this week. Trump doesn't pay his taxes. Trump has never denounced white supremacists. That's false. That's a lie. Trump called our members of the military, our veterans in cemeteries, losers and suckers. That has not been corroborated by anybody that was there or anybody on the record. That's attributed to anonymous sources, and we know how reliable those are. He's accused the president of killing Obamacare and having no plan for pre-existing conditions. The president has repeatedly said that it will be replaced with a better plan, in his opinion. And then we have the mantra
that the Democrats and Biden are running with, that Trump has no plan to combat COVID-19, has taken no action to combat COVID-19, and he hasn't been on the job when it comes to COVID-19. He hasn't done the work. I'm sure you've heard that. Well, that's a flat-out lie when you consider that we're just about to have a vaccine. When you saw the Defense Production Act invoked by the president to get ventilators and medical supplies, you saw the deployment of the hospitals, and you saw the ramp up. You've seen the coronavirus task force. So basically, Joe Biden claiming to be the uniter, I'm not so sure about that. I would tend to think he's more a divider, and here's an example.
President Trump's super spreader events, and he's spreading more virus around the country and here in Florida today. He's spreading division in addition, division and discord.
So that's just an example of the great uniter. And if you have watched any of the Biden speeches, it is nothing but an attack on the president. It's so hypocritical. And the general media is giving him such a pass. It is so blatantly obvious. It is just so blatantly obvious what's going on. Unless you don't get the other side of the picture. If you only watch the major networks or MSNBC or CNN for that matter, you're only getting one side of it. So I would encourage you, if you are trying to have a discussion with somebody about politics, encourage them to open their minds, open the pages of something like the Washington Free Beacon or the Washington Examiner or the Washington Times, or listen to WMAL, or watch Fox News. As much as they may want to hold their nose, there is legitimate news on Fox that they are not hearing anywhere else. And the only way to get around the disinformation campaigns is to get accurate information. So I would encourage you to do that, and the best of luck, because Tuesday is coming awful fast. 627, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store? Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
Many schools are using remote online learning to start the school year, but do you worry about the quality of education your son is getting? Vince Colonnais here, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. They are still accepting enrollments for an in-person classroom experience this fall. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools for young men in grades 7 through 12. Do you wish your son could play football, soccer, or swim competitively this year? Fork Union's fielding teams this year, and literally hundreds of NFL and NBA players, Olympic swimmers, and top college athletes got their start at Fork Union. Plus, Fork Union emphasizes traditional core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. While the school year has begun, Fork Union is still accepting fall enrollments for a safer on-campus learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Learn more. Visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
Thanks for calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This is Sarah. How can I help?
Hi, Sarah. It's me, Brian.
Why are you calling on this line?
I forgot the other number, but I can always remember this one.
What's up?
Do you know what I like best about 2020?
What you like best about 2020?
Yeah, can you guess?
Brian, you can draw a happy face on anything.
2020 has taught us to make room in our lives for what matters most.
which is...
people. We're making more room for people. Less room for junk.
I'm certainly doing that.
How so?
When I watched our truck team haul away a bunch of my junk last week, I've never felt more free. It was like I had room to stretch out again.
Less junk, more happiness.
Less junk, more happiness.
Thank you, 2020, for reminding us what matters most.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call me at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit me at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
And a look at the news at 6:30. Joe Biden, with help from his old boss, Barack Obama, is focusing on black voters in Michigan as the Democrat looks to head off a repeat of the 2016 loss of Hillary Clinton. Biden and Obama heralding a pair of drive-in rallies today in Flint and Detroit, Michigan. Those are predominantly black cities whose turnout will play a large factor in whether Biden can turn the state of Michigan back to the Democratic Party. Winning Michigan and the 16 electoral votes is crucial to the Biden strategy to win the White House. Polls consistently showing the former vice president slightly ahead of President Trump in the state. The president will be out on the road today. He departs Joint Base Andrews this morning about 10:30. He will head to Ewing Township in New Jersey, off to Newtown, Pennsylvania, where he will be hosting an event. He will make remarks there at a Make America Great Again rally, and he will be departing and then heading off to Reading, Pennsylvania. So he's spending the better part of the day in Pennsylvania as he will move on to Pittsburgh later on. And then to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, for an event, and also in Montoursville, Pennsylvania. So a very aggressive program today for President Trump in the state of Pennsylvania. Kentucky is seeing a new record number of cases. Kentucky reporting new coronavirus cases Friday as the surging outbreak continued to send more people to hospitals. The governor there calling it a dangerous time and saying that they're moving the wrong way. The Democratic governor urging Kentuckians to wear masks in public to protect themselves and those around them. And tensions boiled over in a southwestern state of Washington City near Portland, Oregon. That's Vancouver, Washington. That followed a vigil for a black man shot and killed by law enforcement. Two groups shouted at each other in a parking lot last night. That was near the vigil for the man, identified as 21-year-old Kevin Peterson, Jr. Officials say he was shot Thursday in an unincorporated area of Vancouver, Washington. Windows were shattered, flags were burned, federal agents surrounding a building. Shots were fired along a downtown street, but reporters at the scene said it didn't appear that anyone was hit. 6:32, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Manassas, they are setting up some paving operations right now on 28 northbound between Manassas Drive and Bloom's Quarry Road. Watch out for alternating lane closures in the left and the right lanes. On 395 northbound between Edsel Road and Duke Street and between Seminary and Glebe Road, still some road work along the right side, and that is causing some slow traffic. And do watch out for the work zone this weekend on the outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and University Boulevard. Alternating lane closures there. So far, no delays. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A happy Halloween. We will have a very chilly one at that. The temperature is the coolest since 2002, only reaching the lower 50s under mostly sunny skies. We'll be back in the 40s after sunset, so for those of you trick-or-treating, make sure to have a couple of layers. Remember to fall back tonight as well as we exit daylight saving time. Mostly cloudy, lows back in the 40s throughout the region. As we go through tomorrow, showers will be likely, the heaviest south and east, I think most likely during the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
39 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:34 on the Saturday morning update.
There's a lot more to working from home than responding to emails. You got to get your home office video chat on.
Yeah, I think you're on mute.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Their science homework on.
All right, guys, let's go to page 23.
And your living room binge watch on.
Coming up next on Biscuit Boys.
So you need Wi-Fi powerful enough to keep all your devices running at once. Wi-Fi with the most in-home coverage and built-in security to protect those devices. You need Xfinity XFi. Phishing scam blocked. Oh, wait, it said I could learn Chinese in my sleep. Oh.
Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required.
You'll get enhanced coverage when you add an xFi Pod. Plus, advanced security free with the xFi Gateway. Just log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Ends 12/2020. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.
Saturday morning update on WMAL, counting it down to Election Day. We're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Joe Biden has been campaigning on being the normal candidate who can unite the country and return us all to normal. How's that message going over with our electorate?
Well, yes, indeed. That's been the Biden message for months and months, that he was the normal guy and we were going to get back to normal America. And, oh, it just sounds so cuddly and stuff. But there are an awful lot of analysts out there who are saying that this whole strategy was just not viable and wasn't going to work. And there was even a new analysis on CNN, which was cautioning Mr. Biden not to present himself as the normal candidate because it could just backfire the minute he gets into office, because there are huge challenges that are not normal. Pandemic, national security, the economy, all that other stuff. And coming from Glenn Harlan Reynolds, he's a very smart guy. He's a columnist for USA Today. He says, sorry, there will be no return to normalcy under Biden. As the presidential campaign enters its final phase, one of the messages of the Biden campaign is that putting him, a 47-year veteran of national politics, into the White House will return us to something approaching normal. With Biden in charge, all the Trump craziness will expire and things will be safe and sane and familiar. And Mr. Reynolds says, in fact, there's no chance of this happening. And, Rick, voters are agreeing with this. How about that? According to a new Yahoo and YouGov poll of voters, 9 out of 10 of them, 89%, say that things indeed are not normal in the United States right now. That includes 79% of Republicans and 94% of Democrats. But here, more telling, 46% overall say that things will not get back to normal if Joe Biden is elected president. That includes 95% of Republicans and even 10% of Democrats agree with that, and over half of independents agree with that also. And just a mere 35% say things will get back to normal if Mr. Biden is elected. That includes 3% of Republicans, 24% of independents, and a whopping 64% of Democrats agree. So all this normal stuff we'll see on Tuesday, of course, but that may not play well in Peoria. How about that?
Just a darn shame Peoria is not a swing state. You know, it's been an amazing couple of weeks, the mainstream media not reporting any of the Hunter Biden allegations. Also, Twitter censoring everybody from Customs and Border Patrol to the White House press secretary. And not only are they ignoring some of those issues, but how about that economy that you wouldn't have heard about unless you were tuned into one or two media outlets on Friday morning?
Yeah, absolutely indeed. We had a very worried media this week when we had record-breaking news for a leap of 33.1% of the U.S. economy leaped forward, and that was between July and September. That's a record breaker, right? Well, did you hear much about that? No, you did not. And indeed, the media just essentially buried the great American comeback. That is what this was billed by, not only the White House, but a lot of analysts said, oh my gosh, we're having a great American comeback. Well, that just did not get around to the media. But here's what they did, Rick. This is kind of a very crafty trick that the media uses, in which they'll give some a little news about the good news, but then they'll glom on a whole bunch of bad news. I've got a couple of examples. I'm sure you will recognize it. This is what came out in the media coverage from some of our major news organizations this week regarding the great American comeback. Here's what the New York Times said. Why the best GDP record ever won't mean the economy has healed. That's what the New York Times said. Record GDP won't mean much to investors. That came from CNN. Despite GDP growth, Polls suggest Trump's advantage on economic stewardship is narrowing. That came from the Washington Post. Last but not least, U.S. economy grows at record pace, but it still has a long way to go. That's what NPR had to say. There were a lot of them out there, but what you're seeing there is they give a little good news and a lot of bad news to kind of dissuade people from that. And according to Steve Guest, he is with the Republican National Committee. The economy grew at the highest rate ever on President Trump's watch. On November 3rd, the choice is simple. Continue the policies that provided the condition for the recovery by voting for President Trump. Biden's tax increases and job-killing energy policies would slam the brakes on the great American comeback. And indeed, even some analysts leap forward to say that you should fear Joe Biden's financial ideas for the future. And coming from Reason.com, there are 11 trillion reasons to fear Joe Biden's presidency. That's coming from Nick Gillespie. He's an editor at large there. And he's citing all of the great leaps forward that Mr. Biden is proposing with $11 trillion in brand new spending over the next decade. So look out, folks, and watch the media when they give you that little bit of good news and a whole lot of bad news.
You always have an amazing range of polls and studies that you monitor. You have one on gun sales this week that is surprising, to say the least.
Yes, it is. We have some new Second Amendment fans. Here's a headline for you that kind of explains it all. When the coronavirus hit American shores, nurses and doctors stocked up on guns, a new study reports. That's coming from the Washington Free Beacon. I looked up this big study, and it's indeed a very serious academic study coming from New Mexico State University and the University of Toledo. And they did a very close study on who was buying guns as the pandemic was increasing. Here's what they said. Being a healthcare provider was one of the strongest predictors of buying a firearm during the first few weeks of the coronavirus pandemic. 67% of people who reported buying a gun during the pandemic also reported being healthcare professionals. This is this study was very succinct about that. They asked not only doctors and nurses, but also PAs and those who offer health care at home. So anyway, according to the man behind all of this, it was a New Mexico State University professor. He said, these are people who are civilians, who are not criminals, and they have seen a lot of unrest in the past 6 months. That's kind of what they were attributing it to, that a lot of our healthcare folks really have seen some bad stuff. Maybe that affected their judgment or their predilection for wanting a firearm. And they also asked a gun shop owner out in California, and they said, we are having doctors, nurses, you name it, come through. And they all wanted guns. So that's just an interesting finding on Halloween week. How about that?
It's interesting in the world of technology how small things have gotten. I mean, imagine what used to take up almost a full room in a computer is now on your phone, and something else is getting even smaller these days.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to our little science corner for a little while, because a lot of people notice time is flying by. I mean, how did this whole year go by? I don't know. It might be still June as far as I'm concerned, but all of that aside, scientists have just announced that they have crafted the shortest unit of time ever measured. We used to have just nanoseconds, but now we have the new measurement. It is called zeptoseconds, okay? That's with a Z. And this is a trillionth of a billionth of a second, okay? And the measurement of time is based on how long it takes a light particle to cross a hydrogen molecule. So we may be measuring in zeptoseconds pretty soon. I don't know. But if you wonder how many zeptoseconds until the presidential race is decided, well, I think we're going to probably be measuring that in days or weeks or even months. So anyway, that's for your lexicon, zeptoseconds, okay?
I wonder how much somebody spent for that study. It's Halloween. Haunted houses are very in a normal year. I'm not sure about this year, but in a normal year, a haunted house would be in. You've got one that could be haunted as well, and it's one we are familiar with.
Well, yes, it is. This is a very special estate home that was built way back in 1880. I'll tell you about it. It is actually for sale. This is the structure that inspired the witch's castle that you saw in The Wizard of Oz, okay? Anyway, it's called Castle Rock. It's actually a beautiful place. It's an estate home. It was built of the local stone and red slate in 1880 on 16 acres, 620 feet above the Hudson River near Garrison, New York. Their neighbor right across the river is West Point. This Castle Rock, has 34 rooms. That includes 6 bedrooms and 6 baths. It has all the original woodworking, the cathedral ceilings, all the custom details. It measures 10,518 square feet, panoramic views, 4 chimneys, towers, verandas, outbuildings. It is ready to be restored to its original glory. And again, this served as the design inspiration for The Witch's Castle and The Wizard of Oz. And that is actually the book. And I did a little research on this, and some reports say that L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, was at West Point for a while. I'm going to have to check that. But anyway, it's priced at $3.4 million through HoulihanLawrence.com. And I actually have the link on that on the Beltway if you want to check that on the Friday Beltway. But anyway, just a little bit more for our Halloween fix. The National Retail Federation reports we're probably going to spend about $8 billion on Halloween. And even though, let's see, about 75% said that COVID-19 is going to affect their plans, well, naturally. But anyway, nonetheless, the top costumes for the kiddies this year is either a princess or Spider-Man. For adults, it's a witch or a vampire. And for your pets, and 10% of us still dress our pets up for Halloween, it's either a pumpkin or a hot dog. And this is according to the National Retail Federation survey of 7,600 consumers. And one last thing to remember, there's going to be a full moon tonight, a blue moon, not only a blue moon and a full moon, but it's also we have to set our time back. So anyway, it's all mixed up. Everybody's freaking out over this. Blue moon happens every 2.5 years. If you want to check that out, you can go to space.com to check it out. And one last thing, 41% of registered U.S. voters are not going to celebrate Halloween this year. This is a more serious poll coming from our friends over at the Economist YouGov polls. And that includes 38% of Republicans, 39% of independents, and 45% of Democrats. I don't know. They'll maybe celebrate Halloween on Tuesday. I don't know. But that's your Halloween report for today.
Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. We'll be watching your election coverage on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
Indeed. It is 6:47, Saturday morning update. Time for a check of the traffic and weather with Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center. And then we're back with Jim Trusty.
Some slow-going traffic right now, traveling on 395 northbound through the work zone between Etzel Road and Duke Street. Two right lanes are blocked. It is crawling through that work zone. You will still find some road work continuing northbound between Seminary Road and Glebe Road along the two right lanes, and northbound at the GW Parkway, you'll still find some road work there, but no delays on that stretch of 395. Now, if you are traveling in the Manassas area, do watch out for some paving work taking place northbound on 28 between Manassas Drive and Bloom's Quarry Road. Watch out for alternating lane closures in the left and the right lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A happy Halloween. We will have a very chilly one at that. The temperature is the coolest since 2002, only reaching the lower 50s under mostly sunny skies. We'll be back in the 40s after sunset, so for those of you trick-or-treating, make sure to have a couple of layers. Remember to fall back tonight as well as we exit daylight saving time. Mostly cloudy, lows back in the 40s throughout the region. As we go through tomorrow, showers will be likely, the heaviest south and east, I think most likely during the afternoon. High temperatures in the upper 50s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
A chilly 39 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:48 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We're joined by Jim Trusty. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, good to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You know, there's been a lot made in
a handful of media outlets about the Biden family financial dealings. Not too many people were spending time on it, so I thought we could spend a few minutes. And what I wanted to ask you about specifically to begin with is not the Biden family, but Tony Bobulinski. And we have seen Tony on television. He did an hour with Tucker Carlson. He did a press conference prior to the presidential debate. Reportedly, he spent 6 hours in an interview with the FBI. Says he is a former business partner of Hunter Biden, had been involved in the deals with China, and says that Hunter Biden introduced him to Joe Biden and introduced him as part of the team doing business with China. Of course, Joe Biden has claimed that he had no knowledge of his son's business dealings. The Biden campaign simply calls it a smear, has not denied any of it, and is avoiding it. So my question to you, Jim, is, if he were fabricating this story, what legal jeopardy would he be in, as an example, if he spent 6 hours with the FBI and even made one false statement?
Well, on the criminal side, the most immediate problem would be 18 U.S.C. 1001, which is that false statement charge that's gained a lot of public notoriety during the Trump probe. You know, we had a lot of different people that were charged with false statements to the FBI, including General Michael Flynn. So that 18 U.S.C. 1001 is a felony. It carries up to 5 years, and that's a pretty serious hammer for people making false statements. And, of course, if there was already an investigation going on into the Bidens, and if they believe that Tony Bobulinski was lying about that, you could also even have obstruction of justice in play.
I'm also curious as to what civil liability he could face. Joe Biden, obviously a public figure. Jim Biden, his brother, I'm not so sure you would call him a public figure. He probably will be by the time the next week or two is complete. But does Tony Bobulinski have a civil liability for putting the accusations out on the Biden family?
Well, there's always the possibility of civil liability for defamation. What you're kind of putting your finger on right now is the different burden of proof, and it's a much higher burden of proof if somebody is deemed a public figure. So for somebody like Joe Biden, he's pretty obviously a public figure where it requires actual malice to land a solid defamation suit. I think it probably extends pretty deeply into the family, but you never know. I mean, it could be that James Biden is considered a more of a private citizen, smaller burden of proof, and easier to sue somebody for defamation. Of course, for Bobulinski, at least for the moment, it seems pretty clear that his defense would be truth, that if he's telling the truth, we've got nothing to talk about when it comes to civil liability.
My point in all of this being that if he was making this up, he could be getting himself into a heap of trouble, and why would he do that? Now let's turn to the media. If they are to discredit or to make defamatory statements about Tony Bobulinski, call him a Russian agent, what kind of a case might Tony Bobulinski have against the media?
Well, the most immediate example that comes to mind is Nicholas Sandman, right? The young boy who was from Covington, Kentucky, that was basically dragged through the mainstream media as a villain. When it turns out very quickly into the process, they realize that he was a victim, that he hadn't done anything wrong except had a smile on his face that they didn't appreciate, or maybe the MAGA hat might have been more aggravating for them. So it is conceivable that if the media starts or continues to kind of demonize this guy, that he could make a run at them for defamation as well. The issue with him on this kind of burden of proof part is going to be whether he is now to be considered a public figure or not. The kid from Covington certainly was not, and so it was a lower burden of proof, and he was able to get mainstream media folks like CNN and the Washington Post to settle for a pretty penny. But here, because he's done things like holding a press conference, going to a presidential debate, it's a little bit more in play as to whether he's a public figure where it's that highest burden or whether it's something less.
We've seen recent instances where people who come forward all of a sudden find themselves in a Senate or congressional hearing. If you were representing Tony Bobulinski, what would your advice be if he were invited to testify?
Well, I think I'd say the same thing to him as a private attorney that I would if I was investigating this case as a prosecutor, and that is, don't put yourself into political spheres. It doesn't help him to show up at a presidential debate, obviously as a guest of the president in that instance. Also, frankly, going before Congress is never all that helpful for criminal investigations. They're not the best people to drill down and get the right answers to the right questions. And in fact, when there's a investigation in the background, if anything, that congressional appearance, that congressional testimony, can distort or make it more difficult for prosecutors to actually assess all the information that you would give them behind closed doors. So the best thing he can do is kind of keep safe and keep quiet and hope that the mainstream media starts to turn it around and actually cares about this story, but maybe more fundamentally hope that investigators are looking at it seriously.
Reason I'm spending time on this is the whole question of whether the Biden family is compromised by taking significant sums of money from Chinese corporations and reportedly from the mayor of Moscow's wife. Now, there are also reports that the laptop allegedly belonging to Hunter Biden was the subject of interest of the FBI in a money laundering investigation. If that were to be true, what types of things would the FBI be looking for on that computer?
Well, look, having a laptop that has the communications on it that this one did is obviously a big running head start, and so is Mr. Bobulinski's testimony. They've got some building blocks that are in place here, emails, testimony, identification of shell organizations. Those are all things that could be building blocks for a case. But what they really have to do is a forensic audit, you know, really chase down all the money. See, number one, what was Hunter supposedly providing to these foreign governments or these foreign officials? And secondly, where's it all going? You know, what's he getting paid for and where's it actually going to? And so, you know, there's a lot to look at there beyond just kind of the immediate reaction of, you know, the profitability of public service when it comes to the Bidens. There's a lot to look into if they're going to do it right. And so I think you start with the things that we're already hearing about, but there's a lot of digging to do to actually build a case.
Well, speaking of China, a press release from the Department of Justice on Wednesday, 8 individuals charged with conspiring to act as illegal agents of the People's Republic of China. Tell us about the case and tell us what is happening with those defendants.
Well, this is really a pretty outrageous story when you drill down and get to know what the facts are. And obviously it hasn't gone to trial yet, but there's a criminal complaint that details it as well as a DOJ press release. You had 8 different individuals, 7 being from the People's Republic of China, 1 being an American investigator. And for years, they have had these crews that run around the United States harassing ethnic Chinese, Chinese immigrants into the U.S., trying to convince them to go back home to China, where they will face charges and imprisonment from the Chinese Communist government. Now, obviously, that's not an easy conversation to come across to our country and tell these folks you should just go ahead and go home. But what they're doing is they're extorting. They're essentially telling these people, for instance, come back and serve 10 years in prison, and that way your family and children in China will be safe. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's a veiled threat, that they're literally coming into the U.S., running around with U.S. investigators in one instance, tracking down Chinese individuals and pressuring them through threats to their family to go back to China and face whatever music they're facing there.
Jim, we hear periodically about the U.S. government indicting actors in foreign countries for various charges, and they're in foreign countries, and you're like, well, yeah, sure, Putin's going to turn them over to us. What's different here?
Well, you're right. I mean, there's a long history of these kind of symbolic indictments where we indict people in Russia or Iran or in China, fully knowing we're never going to see them. In this case, of the 8 individuals charged, 5 are in custody in the United States. So that's not a symbolism moment. That is an actual prosecution, and I think that's a good sign that we're taking it seriously. It's really long overdue. This behavior by Chinese extortion crews goes back years. It was taking place during the Obama administration, so it's nice to see something other than kind of symbolic slaps on the wrist.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law, will be watching for your tweets at Trusty Lawyer. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you next weekend, Jim, about all of the attorneys dispatched all over the country to sort out the election mess.
Armies of lawyers. Thanks, Rick. Talk to you soon.
All right, we got 7 o'clock news coming up. Back with John Gizzi. We'll also talk to the commissioner of the Trump Hispanic Prosperity Commission. Get a read on what's going on with Trump and the outreach to the Hispanic voters and how they're faring in that community. We're going to talk to the candidate running against Maxine Waters and also Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland, all on the way.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.